crisis. So many things happen in our life that are beyond our control, that we don't have answers for, scare us out of our mind, perplex us, make us so sad we can't seem to move the next day. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about what do we do in the midst of a crisis to connect to the God that loves us. And to do that this morning, I'm going to take you back just a little bit, at least at the beginning. On September 11th, 2001, our country was attacked by terrorists in a particularly brutal way that none of us saw coming. Four jetliners filled with fuel and headed for California were hijacked by terrorists, and a regular means of transportation all of a sudden turned into a weapon of mass destruction on a scale so many of us had never seen before. It was one of the deadliest and scariest days in the history of our country. A lot of you still remember where you were when you saw it on the news the first time. In fact, one of the newscasters seemed to accurately sum up the experience at the time when he said these words, "The foundations of America have been shaken." 22 years later, I think we look back at that and say, you know, the guy was right on. Not only the foundation of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, but the foundation of our society had been shaken to its core. All of a sudden, Americans had a new fear that they hadn't had in the past. Foundation of our sense of security, the foundation of our freedom, the foundation of our entire future as a country had been shaken. And what's interesting is pastors all over the country were asked during that time, what do we do? What are we supposed to do in the midst of this kind of crisis? 22 years later, I think the question still remains as we watch one tragedy after another tragedy fall upon our world. Each time there's an election cycle, we ask the question, is there a way back to that security, that safety, that fearlessness that we had before all that went down? And each time I think we ask in the midst of this, what do we do in the midst of the crisis? What do we do in the midst of the new thing? What do we do in the midst of the relationship that isn't working? What do we do in the midst of the health scare? What do we do when finances aren't meeting the ends? What do we do when we don't have the answers for life? What do we do when we lose a loved one and our whole world is spun up and we are so sad it's hard to move forward? Interestingly, this is not a new question. It was a question that was asked thousands of years before by David. David was running from a different kind of terrorist in those days. He was being terrorized and pursued first and foremost by his king, King Saul, and his army who were looking to kill him. And then there were the Philistines, which is a foreign power, who were also terrorizing the people of Israel from north to south on a continual basis. And it was in the midst of this chaos that David uttered these words, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? When our lives don't make sense anymore, what can we do to move forward?" When the foundations are being destroyed, when everything is up in the air, when it feels like it's just crisis and chaos, what do good people do? Well, God tells us this morning, and he shares with us two words in the midst of life when it gets upended. Two things that he wants us to do, or two words that he wants us to do more than anything else to help reconnect us to him. He says this, "Worship me." In fact, the Bible says that go to the Lord for help and worship him. The Bible says worship opens the door to all his goodness. And you know what? Whether it's terrorism or grief or fear or the worries of life or financial concerns or health concerns, in our deepest hour, what we need most in the whole world is to focus on God. It's in the crisis, it's in the chaos, it's in the confusion, it's in the hurt, it's in the pain. It's when we feel crushed, when we feel out of control, it's in those moments that we need to focus on. Trust more and more. God, we need to run toward Jesus to find our strength, to find our bearings, to find our hope, to find our way back. In other words, it's when your heart is breaking that God calls us to worship him. He started asking, what exactly does that look, Pastor? I mean, what does that mean? And it means three things, at least this morning, three things that we can do in the midst of crisis to help reconnect us to the God who loves us, to reconnect with the God that has us, that's got us as we're moving through this crazy world. And one of the first things he calls us to do in the midst of tragedy, the first thing that we do, he says, tell me how you feel. I talk over and over about this imaginary table, right, where you take all the stuff on the inside and you put it on this table. In other words, you put it on the outside. God says, tell me everything that's going on in that head of yours right now. In other words, at the beginning, he's just begging us here to unload. Unload all of your feelings, all of your emotions, all of your pain, all of your fear, and let God hear it. In Lamentations was written as Jerusalem was being destroyed. They were soon going to be put to exile in Babylon. They had rebelled against God in every single way, and now they were paying the price. But it's sad to go through those times. And he was at his wit's end. He was the man of God in the midst of that horrible situation. And he said this in Jeremiah 2:19. He writes, "Cry out in the night. Pour out your heart like water in prayer to the Lord." I love that imagery. You know, it's thinking about pouring a pitcher of water into a glass. God says, pour out your emotions and your feelings and your fears on me in that way. Let me hear. This is where we tell him our emotions that are bottled way up inside of us, the stuff that we've stuffed down. Again, in Job, who went through his own crisis in his life, says in Job 7, verse 11, "I can't be quiet. I am angry. I am bitter, and I have to speak." You ever felt that way? Job tells God exactly how he feels. Over and over, he shares his wrenching feelings with God, how he doesn't understand how things are not going according to plan, how he's in pain, how he's suffering, how he just wants to die and go to heaven. He shares his frustration, his anger, and fear in every single way, but each time he cries out to God in his agony, God was there, and every time he cried out, God heard. God was able to deal and handle his pain. The lesson from this is that God always is able to handle our questions. He's always able to handle our fears and our worries and our stresses. He's always got us in the midst of this life. So when you face a tragedy, and you will many times in this life, and I wish I could say it's different, but we all know it's true. The correct response is not to grin and bear it, but the correct response is to be honest with God and to tell him exactly how you're doing right now. Say, God, I'm struggling with you right now. I don't like the way things have gone right now. See if I can give you an example of that. As some of you know, I have three amazing kids. At least I think they're amazing, right? And as they grow older, though, one of the curious things happens to me is they start to doubt my judgment a little bit more than they used to. And that happened to anybody else? Any other parents? It's crazy. And what's crazy about it is they don't ever doubt my love for them. Never. They don't ever doubt that I'm older than them. In fact, they tell me how old I am all the time. They don't ever doubt that I have more experience or they have more education. But they do doubt my judgment. But here's the truth. I'd way rather have them come to me and share their concerns or their questions or their worries about what it is that I'm saying than stuff it deep down and just deal with it. And just to personalize this a little bit more, God, your Heavenly Father, wants the same thing from you. He doesn't want any separation between you and him. He wants you to be able to lay it all bare. He doesn't want to have anything that you're holding back. He wants all of you in purity and in truth and in exactly in the moment where you are at that time. He wants you to share that so that he can come in and comfort and renew and strengthen and remind you over and over that he's got you. Now, why is this so important? Because although Job questioned God's actions, why did you allow this, God? Why is this happening to me, God? He never stopped trusting in God. He complained a whole bunch, and if you've ever read Job, you know that's true. But he never stopped believing. And as strange as this may seem, the Bible teaches that complaining to God in honesty is actually an act of faith. It's actually could be called an act of worship. Because first of all, it says, I believe that there's a God. And I also believe that he listens to my prayers. And I also believe that I can share everything I need to share and he will still love me at the end. And that takes faith and trust. But complaining to God can actually be an act of worship because it's in those moments that you're showing, even though everything has fallen apart, God, even though I don't have any answers, even though I'm scared out of my mind, I know that you still got me. It's an act of faith. It's an act of trust. Now, just to clarify this a little bit, complaining about God to other people, we have a word for that. It's called sin. That's what got the Israelites in trouble. They were complaining about God to everybody and just basking in that. But when you complain about God to somebody else, you're just being rebellious. But when you complain to God and saying stuff like, God, I just don't like this. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand right now. I don't have any answers. God says, that's a statement of faith, of trust, of worship. So the first step, whenever something goes wrong, whenever something gets upended in your life, whenever something you just lose total control and you're out of your mind, connecting with God in a crisis is tell him how you feel. Let him start breathing into you that comfort that strength, that reminder that he loves you, that he's got you, that he's there. And then we go to the second part, and that's probably the first part's hard, but the second part's even harder. You praise God in the midst of the circumstances. That's what Scripture says. You're going to go through tragedies in this life. It's just truth. You're going to lose loved ones. They're going to leave a hole, and that's painful. You're going to find times in your life where the foundations of your life just get upended, and everything seems like it's going wrong. But you praise God in spite of the circumstances. And you don't wait for an explanation, because there's some things in this world you're just never going to know. But when you get to heaven, I'm convinced of this, God's going to show us why different things happened and what he was accomplishing in those moments. And I think the first week or so in heaven, we're just going to be going like this. Oh, that's why. Oh, I see what you're doing there. Oh, as he reveals to us over and over again how he was there, how he was present, how he was working, what he was doing, that he's got us. And that's going to make us love him more. And it's going to make us be blown away by how he's just always there, how he always cares. You're going to look back at your life and God's going to say, this is why all the things that have happened happen. But in the midst of the circumstances on this side, we just praise God in the midst of the circumstances. And we trust that he's working and we trust that he's doing something and we trust that he's there. This is what Job did when he lost everything he had one day. I don't know if you know the story, but he was the most blessed man on earth. He was rich. He had kids. He had everything you could possibly imagine. He was blessed by God. And in one day, God took it all away. One servant came, said, hey, you lost all your crops. One servant came, you lost all your livestock. Another servant came. Over and over, he'd lose until finally the last servant came and says, you lost your kids. There's a tornado that ripped through the house, and they're all dead. And then he responded by saying this, I was born with nothing, and I will die with nothing. The Lord gave, and now the Lord has taken away. May his name still be praised. In spite of everything that happened, he didn't sin by blaming God, says Scripture. In other words, he praised God in spite of everything, trusting that somehow, some way, God would work it for good. The book of Job is really all about one question in life, and it's a hard question. The question is, will a person continue to worship God if he loses everything? Will a person continue to follow, to love God if everything goes wrong in his life? Let me make this more personal. Would you? Would you continue to follow God, trust God, love God if everything went wrong in your life? Because really, that's the ultimate test of faith, isn't it? When things are going wrong. And I want to tell you, at some point in your life, you're going to go through this trial, just the way it is. You're going to go through a time when everything in your life looks like it's going wrong and continues to go wrong, and you don't have the answers, and you're out of control, and you have no idea how to get back to center. And God's going to watch and see during those moments, do you still trust me? Will you still trust him when you're at the bottom? Will you still trust him when the rug gets pulled out from under you? Will you still trust him when nothing makes sense? It's chaotic, you're crushed, it's tragedy. Because the ultimate test of faith is that not all your prayers are going to get answered in the way that you want them to, and not all your prayers are going to be answered in the time that you want them to be answered. So why can we praise God in the midst of life when it goes into the garbage chute? When your heart is breaking. Why can we praise God in those circumstances? And God says the answer to that is what Job gives us. Because even though life may change and life may get upended and life maybe go to chaos, God, the truth about God never changes. I keep saying that the truth is simple. It's life that complicates that truth. But it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful saying. It means that even when our life is garbage, God's truth, God's love, God's care, God's power, God's forgiveness does not change. And Job was able to praise God because of that. He says, even when things go wrong, I can praise God because he is good and he is a loving God. In Job 10, he says, you've given me life and constant love and your care for me has kept me alive. In other words, God, you love me and you've continued to love me even in the midst of this crisis. Paul says it this way in Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am convinced that nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God. Not life, not death, not angels, not demons, not our fear of today, not our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. This verse is just saying whether you're up high in the sky or whether you're down in the depths of the ocean, God's love for you is there. His concern for you is there. His presence for you is there. He cares about what's happening in your life. He sees the difficulty. He knows that you're struggling. But again, perspective from heaven, he's saying, I gotcha. Just keep trusting. Just keep persevering. Just keep going, and we'll get to the other side of this, I promise you. And he's not standing on the other side saying, come on, come on. No, he's walking through with us every step of the way, reminding us that he's got us, that he's there in the midst of it. He even says that in this tragedy, I can thank God that he's all-powerful. In Job 36, he says, God's power is unlimited. In another verse, it says that we can't even comprehend the greatness of God's power. So I can praise God because he knows every single detail of my life. Job says he knows the details of what's happening to me. He sees everything I do. He watches every step. In other words, not only does he know your name, he knows how many hairs you have on your head. For some, that's a little easier than others to figure out, right? But he knows us through and through. He gets what we're going through. He says from the very beginning of history that God has been in control of all the world, that God is moving history toward a desired end. And so we thank God that he has a plan and a purpose for not only our lives, but for this world. Job says he will fulfill what he has promised and planned for me. And so we thank God that he promises to protect us, that he promises to protect the sorrowful. Reality is after the last 22 years of living in this world of terrorism and all the crazy that's resulted, I don't know many people today that would deny the existence of evil anymore. But there is something that is stronger than evil in our world, and that is goodness. Goodness always overcomes evil eventually, Scripture says. In the short term, and absolutely we're living in a time of it, there's much evil that's having a lot of success. But in the long term, it dies out because it isn't nearly as strong as goodness. Jesus says then that we are to pray, deliver us from evil, deliver us from the evil one. And we're to pray for strength when we're in a crisis. We're going to pray for his presence in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the tragedy. We are to pray for help because he is one that is able. Which just points us to the last one. You are to ask God for strength and help. In other words, when your heart's breaking, when you're confused, when you're angry because of the tragedy, you don't run away from God in those moments, you run to him. When you don't understand the circumstances, you don't run away from God, you run to him. Because to be honest, he's the only one that can help. He's the only one that can get you through. He's the only one that can strengthen you. He's the only one that can breathe in perspective. He's the only one that's got you in the midst of that storm. And so you ask him for his strength because he's got all the strength that you could ever need. The Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 4, look to the Lord for strength. Job said, God is the real source of wisdom and strength. The days following 9/11, we watched an entire nation, at least for a moment, turn in prayer to God for strength. This was not what the terrorists planned. This is not what they thought would happen, absolutely. But America, at least again for a moment, became united more in prayer than any other time in my lifetime. I'll admit to you, tears came freely as I watched both houses of the government, both Democrats and Republicans, stand together on the Capitol steps and pray, publicly pray before the nation, and then sing God Bless America in unison. And nobody was worried about separation of church and state at that point, and nobody was worried about prayer in public buildings at that point. Congress actually held an all-night prayer vigil. I don't know if they've ever done that in the history of our country. Our president proclaimed a national day of prayer and publicly read scripture to the nation. And prayers were being said in public schools everywhere, and nobody, again, was protesting prayers in school at that point. Because we crave a connection to our Creator when a crisis occurs. Because it's in those crises that we realize we don't have the answer. We need someone greater to help. So while it may be true that our society has messed up in different ways today, what is also true is that our sovereignty of God, or the sovereignty of God, cannot be shaken. Jesus says this in John 16. He says, by trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. You can count on it, but take heart, for I have conquered the world. In other words, he's just saying a hard truth. He's saying your struggles aren't over. They might even get worse, to be honest. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, you don't have to panic because you have a sure foundation. The author of Hebrews writes this, do you see what we've got? We've got an unshakable kingdom. The secret of surviving any tragedy in life ultimately is, what is it that you're focusing on? Are you running to, or are you running away from God? So let me ask you, are you focusing on the problems in your life right now? Are you focusing on God? Are you focusing on all the resources you don't have? Or are you focusing on all the resources that he does have? Are you focusing on the circumstances, or are you focusing on the Creator? Are you focusing on your guilt? Or are you focusing on the forgiveness that Christ won? Because your answers to those questions will let me know for sure whether you experience peace or whether you'll experience conflict in the midst of that crisis. The more and more we look to God, the more and more we're reminded that every step of the way he's got us. And even in the hard times, he's wrapped us up with his arms of love. Sometimes he's carrying us like that poem to get to the other side. Sometimes he allows it to test our heart. Do we still trust him? Do we still love him in the midst of that adversity? Sometimes life is just mean and Satan is just mean, and he promises to protect us and persevere us and get us through to the other side. But God's got us. So what are you focusing on? My prayer is that in the midst of crisis, that you'd always start running toward Jesus, that your focus would always be on the one that can help, that your focus would always be on Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we do thank you for Jesus so much. Life doesn't always go according to plan. When you lose a loved one, your life is spinning out of control, and it's hard, and it hurts, and you don't know if you'll ever get past the pain or the difficulty. When you're dealing with health issues, man, it scares you from the inmost being, and you don't know how to move forward, and you know you can't control it, and you're relying on a doctor that's practicing medicine in many cases. So you're worried about what's going to happen next. When finances are short, you get scared out of your mind for your family and how you provide. When relationships break down, it seems like everything's wrong in our world. So many instances of crisis, Lord, in our lives. There's all too many times in our life where we can look back or look to the present and see in the midst of that difficulty that that's where we are. So remind us that you got us. Remind us that you care, that you see, that you know. Remind us that you're working even behind the scenes for our good. Father, just remind us in the midst of this life that we are forgiven and loved by an amazing God. And that's our prayer today. And we pray it in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.